Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Now, Joel, let's start off with U.S. equity markets, because I've been talking to a number of technicians and analysts, and everybody's looking at these markets saying, look, they just keep on moving higher. The breadth recently in the S&P was at a decade high with, I believe, 95% of stocks trading above their 200-day moving average. One thing that you and I have been chatting about over the last couple months, though, is the lagging nature or the underperformance, quite frankly, of the high-flying tech stocks. But now you look at something like Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Facebook. They're all strong right now. Facebook has been strong throughout, but the big boys in the tech sector are starting to play catch-up. Does that just make you think that there's more strength to come from broad averages?
Yeah, good afternoon, Corey. Thanks for having me. I think that's one thing that's been consistent, has been, and what I've been talking about is like, well, the big boys need to participate in order to have another leg higher. And it took a while. I mean, Apple formed a nice base down there. Microsoft has recently broke out. Amazon, not breaking out to a new all-time high, but having some darn good days. Google, that had to gap and go after earnings and just wouldn't go down. And when stocks don't go down after that kind of gap and go, the least path of least resistance is higher. So they are participating. We talked about Facebook, and Facebook has always been a low PE stock, so relative speaking. And just another thing for information, and I don't know the exact statistic, but my buddy Dennis did a scan, and there were only, in the S&P 500, I think there were only five stocks that were trading with a PE of less than 15. And all five of those stocks were at all-time highs. So there you go. You know, it sums it up. This value trade is here. It looks like it's here to stay. Growth tech is participating now, adding fuel to the fire. What's next? I don't know. The high PE tech is still laboring a little bit. Your Zooms, your Pelotons, those Teladocs, those kind of stocks, you know, I don't know when or if they're going to come back. But the big boys are really helping the market get off to just another leg higher.
So, Joel, when you discuss some of these PE ratios and other metrics around valuation, do they even matter anymore? Because it seems like all we've been hearing over the last year plus is, well, valuations are sky high.
Well, Corey, I guess those stocks got taken out to the woodshed, right? And people got smoked. And I think, you know, if you want to go back and you want to look at things, you know, you can credit Reddit, right? Roaring Kitty, value stocks. And that's kind of changed the momentum and the mindset of the market. And whatever, if there would have been another catalyst to do it, I don't know. But that's the market, the direction the market's moving in. Also, you got to think about, you know, the changes in administration. You know, Biden's going to be more for Main Street than for Wall Street. And you're seeing that in the smaller. We're in a full-blown recovery here, I guess, from the vaccinations. I don't know what's going on over yonder. But, you know, your reopening stocks are hot. People are anxious to get out and travel and do things and visit their families. So, and a lot of those stocks are, you know, have actually at all-time highs, which I find hard to believe. But a lot of different factors contributed. But, hey, who's going to complain?
Well, especially when everything just keeps on going up, right? A lot of people out there making money, and a lot of people a number of people still without a job, but still making money, especially in the markets. That just leads to the other point here, Joel, is that it seems like everybody is in these markets and in not safety assets, not in, say, bonds. They are in stocks, and some being some very high-valued stocks. What changes that, or how sustainable is this?
You must hanging out with some pretty wild guys. Everybody my age is hanging in pretty conservative stuff, but
the younger generation loves risk, let me tell you.
Hey, risk is a four-letter word, right? And if you have you know, different portfolios, if you have different asset allocations and you have portfolio XYZ that has $5,000 in it and you don't mind it going to zero, then you set that kind of money aside. I'd say, I don't know, 99% of my money is in long-term investments that I never look at, probably never will sell, probably will pass on to my children. And I got, you know, I got some stocks like Peloton in there. That's actually my wife's call, not mine. But man, you're looking there. I mean, there's Lowe's and there's, you know, other conservative stocks that in the S&P 500 index. I've always been a big proponent of it's hard to beat the market. And my partner on the pre-market prep show, he does a lot of, you know, in his portfolio, he's buying a lot of this, he's selling a lot of that, and then he's buying it back. It's hard to beat the market. And so that's just my philosophy. And so I've stayed diverse with, you know, S&P, Vanguard indexes. I'm just not one of those people that could just pick them up and lay them down and pick the right stocks and get out at the right time. Very difficult to do.
Yeah, fair enough. But isn't it just another maybe aspect of this society right now is that people don't keep money in their savings account. Their savings account they look at as their portfolio. That seems to be the overwhelming takeaway that I have right now.
I guess that's the way things are out there in Coover. I don't know. I mean, it's your savings account. I mean, who has money in there? You don't want to have money in your savings account because it's. You know, you're not getting anything on it. So if you're saying the savings accounts are converted to, you know, brokerage accounts, yeah. But like I said, you know, you got to have different accounts for different time frames and different asset allocation. It's really hard to beat over the long course of time, though, of investing in good companies, staying in good companies, and not trying to be cute and beat the market.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the key takeaway. Let's also talk about gold here, Joel, because it's been a little while since you and I chatted about gold. Gold has bounced nicely from maybe a double bottom in March, but either way, today gold is a little bit above that 1750 level, which is an initial resistance level. Look, through the 7-month correction, there's a lot of resistance levels that gold needs to fight through to get back to 1900, even that 2000 level. But what are some of the factors you're watching for gold during this rebound?
I mean, it's just Reddit, I really think. I think it, you know, it's traders. I think it's shorter term. I don't think there is a majority of people out there like, I'm buying gold, I'm holding gold, you know, gold's, I think it's more, it's just turned in there, let's rent gold. You know, if it finds good support at 1700, and okay, then it break out. Now it's at 1750. There's probably a majority of traders out there that could give two licks if this thing goes to 1760, 1770. They're just trading it. It's a vehicle. It's a trading vehicle. I don't see, like you ask me all the time, oh, the lower dollar, the higher dollar, Bitcoin, not. It's not. It's machines. It's machines running the market, trading these on a short-term basis with absolutely no regard for the actual true value of the bullion. It's just what systems are buying and what I have all the years of following. I hope this, I'm not going to get kicked off your station for saying this, but like all the years that I've been, you know, seeing this, you tell me gold's an inflation for when the market, you know, a hedge when the market's going down. I could tell you I was holding gold in March and those margin calls and that thing whooped my butt. So you can't tell me that if the market goes into free fall, that gold's that, you know, it's going to be that hedge. Is it a hedge against inflation? Stocks are a better hedge against inflation. I mean, it's lost its place in the investment society and the investment community. And I don't think it's ever coming back.
Wow, that's a big comment there, Joel. I really don't know how to follow up on that. Does that mean that gold goes down to sub 1,000? Or does that mean it is simply just a trading vehicle? Watch some of the technicals.
Yeah, it's just going to grind you to death, man. I'd grind you to death. I think if you're a gold bug and you want to play it, then play, find some kind of technical system and swing trade it. Just don't trade it from the long side. That's the stupidest thing to do. If you're really a gold trader and a gold bug, you figure out how to buy it. You figure out how to short it. You play it both ways, because it's just, you know, watch gold explode to 2,500 tomorrow and I'll be looking like a dummy. But it's just the way I see it. I just think it, and I think a lot of it's just a hedge fund vehicle. It's a hedge fund trading game that, you know, they try and beat up each other. Things get too extended on one side, they rally. Gets too extended on the other side, they sell it. So just look at it as a trading vehicle.
Okay. Hey, Joel, I respect what you have to say. You do look at all markets. So taking that outlook on gold, I think that is noteworthy for a lot of these gold bugs to understand that there is this narrative out there when it comes to gold. And whether that changes or not, we need to be aware of. That's where at least the precious metals market stands right now. Joel, interesting chatting with you, buddy. I will post a link to the Benzinga website where everyone can catch up on your pre-market prep show. And I'll chat with you again in a couple weeks. Thanks for your time this week, Joel.